Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After. Ciroc, celebrate life responsibly. Gonna get into the Cajun Cannons' final thoughts after we get some post-game audio. We already heard from Dennis Allen. Now quarterback Derek Carr approached the podium, and here's what he had to say after the Saints' 26-24 loss in Atlanta.
What's your initial sentiment after a game like that?
Oh, that one hurts. And you try your best not to be so angry, you know, about it, you know, yeah. But you hate losing. You hate losing. Especially close ones. They sting. So, I thought positively. I thought we, ran the ball. I thought we threw it effectively. Compared to last week, I thought we got better. But just like Debo said, like, good's not good enough. You know, we got to be better. And, obviously it wasn't enough to get a win today.
Was the plan today just a lot of quick stuff early for you? I mean, obviously playing the good offensive line, I'm guessing that factor.
Of course. There's a lot of factors. But, yeah, I mean, I think, just getting everybody comfortable, getting in the rhythm of the game, all those things. And, we were able to hit some, chunks, I think, here and there. And then especially more late in the second half, I thought our guys battled. I thought up front they did a great job, especially running the ball early. When we were able to run the ball early, it allowed some of those, passes in that second half to really open up for us. And so, and they did a great job in protection then. They brought a lot of heat at us. They wanted to get after us and put a lot of pressure on those guys, one-on-ones everywhere, put me on a time clock. And I was really proud of the way that our guys handled that. It got tipped up. It sucks, but I should throw it away quicker. 100%. Throw it away quicker. I don't need to hang on to it and just to see and all that kind of stuff. DA and I talked about it right after it happened. He's like, just quicker. I was like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yes, sir. Again, we spotted them a touchdown there. I don't know the last time I've seen that happen on a screen, but hey, it happened. It sucks, but I got to get rid of it quicker when it's not there. And so, yeah, can't wait that long to throw it away.
The difference in your offensive success compared to last week, is that having a week to prepare for the guys who weren't out versus having it happen on the third play of the game?
Yeah, I think obviously that helps the guys that are playing, right? The mindset is different, all that kind of stuff, and they get the reps. It's one thing to, see it. It's really hard to see it and then go plug in and play. That's a hard thing to do, but I'm really proud of our guys this week and their mentality. I thought we had a really good week of practice, and I was very confident going into the game that we'd play better, and we played better. Our guys up front handled a lot of different things, a lot of different fronts, some different, pressures and all that kind of stuff. And I thought they did a fantastic job. And I think having those reps during the week definitely helps them with that.
Yeah, obviously, you see like the few touchdowns from Taysom, you can see what he can do on those when he's out of the game. Like, how much does that take away from what y'all can do?
Yeah, because there's just, I'll say this about our, the system is there's obviously everyone has a role, but there's also guys that are ready to play that role if need be, so we don't lose like, that call sheet, the plays to be able to call them. If I said that right, but like I always say, like, you take a Taysom Hill out, you take a Eric McCoy out, whoever, you name whoever, it's always hard. You don't just replace somebody, different guys have different abilities, they bring different skill sets, to the table. And so anytime you lose a guy like Taysom, it hurts for sure. But there's definitely a, system and things in place for us to be able to, not lose those plays if we need them. Yeah, he just continues just to amaze me. Just you guys have seen him, been close to him longer than I have. I've seen him at, blows me away. you know, just as a teammate in the games. Like he reminds me so much, you know, of Marshawn, their mindsets during the game, you know, Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, playing with Marshawn, like they just absolutely love football. No matter the situation, no matter how chaotic it is, you know, I can always look to AK, you know, just because he's an older player. I can look at him and I can just, you know, stay like this when the stadium is at its loudest and we need to go score a touchdown. You know, he just continues to amaze me, you know, with his mentality and the things that he's physically able to do. You know, I'm glad, I'm proud to be his teammate, you know, and work alongside that guy. He pushes me just watching him. He pushes you as a teammate to be at your best, you know, when the game's on the line and things like that, for sure.
Sounds like you guys were pretty confident. Chris Olave, the performance he gave when there was even some question about if he'd be bold.
Yeah, I mean, without getting into his business, like I didn't know, you know, for sure, you know, but for him to gut that out, to see him in there, you know, hurting right now, obviously, for him to do that for us and come up with that huge catch across the middle, you know, to give us a chance to, you know, go take the lead and possibly win a football game. And there were so many, there were seven catches before that, you know, but that just for him to gut that out and be at the end of the day and catch that ball and, like that is huge for our team, and there's no moral victories, but that's definitely a positive going forward for sure for us. That his grit and his toughness, like that's what we need from our number one, and he gave that to us today.
What comfort do you take sort of just in the game? How consistent Chris Olave and you've been on third downs in particular? It seems especially the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've come such a long way. I'm glad that, you know, you get a couple of games in and you see the work paying off. You know, he had a choice route today versus a certain look, and I threw it to a spot. You know, someone was coming, I threw it to a spot, and he saw it just like I saw it, caught it, boom, first down. You know, it's like that stuff doesn't happen overnight, you know, like that. That's a lot of work, you know, on his part and, you know, on me, you know, us doing it together, obviously. But, you know, I'm just so proud of him, man. Like, I really am. Like, his work ethic and just his mentality to get us to this point. You know, there was another play today that I dropped back and I just threw it to a spot that I knew that he needed to be at, and he's there. He makes the catch, first down. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, we can, you know, look past that. Even the one down the middle that got called back, like, it takes a lot for me to just make that decision, you know, with the safety over the top, Mike underneath, like, that's a big trust throw. Those easily get tipped up and be trouble. And, like, for me, it was like, I'm throwing it, you know. And so that confidence and trust I have in him, you know, that takes a lot of work, but he's earned that. And he, just like he did last week, he said it again, end of the game. He keeps reminding me, because I tell him, game online, I'm coming to you, you know. And, you know, he reminded me again, you know, he's like, hey, I'm here. And sure enough, he made a lot of big plays for us on that drive.
Derek Carr's post-game comments after the Saints going down to the Falcons 26-24 in Atlanta. We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After. When we come back, the Cajun Cannon breaks it all down right here on the Ciroc Point After on your New Orleans Saints radio network right after this. Before we get into the Cajun Cannon's rant, we want to let stations pause to identify themselves 10 seconds here on the Saints radio network. Well, Cajun Cannon, it was a rough one in the ATL. In the end, the Saints end up falling to the Falcons 26-24. Last second field goal for the Dirty Birds, who end up now improving at 2-2 on the season. The Saints now have lost two in a row. Boo.
Well, did you think realistically Koo was going to miss that 58-yard field goal?
I had the fingers and toes crossed.
It might have been NFL record. I said, well, he's going to make it. The same thing, like, I don't know about Groupie, but I think Groupie can make a 58-yard. I said that's what it does not need to come down to. You don't want – now, if we'd have been in that situation, I think Groupie would have came through and make the game-winning field goal to win the game. But I know I was also not confident that Koo was going to miss. He ended up being 4-for-4. It's amazing to me at the NFL level. That's one thing I've noticed as of late, how accurate overall the kickers are from distance. It's like, oh, that's a long field goal. He's not going to make it. It's like, oh, no. Even in college, you see a lot of kickers now, you see them make consistency, but they're making long kicks.
60-yarders are now common.
Yes. Yeah, so just the way it is. But I don't know. It was very discouraging. The one thing I thought would come about this, you look at the point spread. I don't know who was available with all the Saints' injuries. You know, both Falcons and the Saints' offensive line, but the captain of the defense not being available, DeMario Davis. The point spread, I think, was like 1.5, 2.5. They went up to 3. And, boy, you don't think Vegas knows what they're talking about? If you took the Saints in the 3 points, they covered. Now, as a fan, you want to win and lose. But a lot of people bet on games. And they covered the 3 points. It just goes to show you that a lot of times you look at that spread, they're not 100%, but a lot of times they're right. Now, if you'd have told me again, the Falcons are going to have 0 offensive touchdowns.
What?
I'd have said, there's no way in hell the Saints lose. How can you lose if the Falcons' offense does not even score a touchdown? There's no way. If you'd have told me that before the game, and go, the Falcons didn't score an offensive touchdown, but the Saints lost, I'd be like, what the F? I mean, what are you talking about? No, their offense, they kick 4 field goals. But this is just the ebb and flow of this. I'm telling you, we're going to beat Atlanta when they come to New Orleans. And I'm telling you, even if we'd have won this game, I wouldn't be like, oh, we're going to sweep Atlanta. No, the reason why I said Atlanta will probably win in New Orleans. Because the home field does not matter. It's what has happened in the series. They've played 110 times, and it's 55-55. Sample size, that's beyond a sample size. That's like you're talking about a different lifetime, a different generation.
Literally a coin flip.
No, it is like, Steve, it can't 55-55 in the series. So when you look at that, I mean, it didn't surprise me. I'd have thought in theory, can you not even make a touchdown on third down? Can you score on fourth down and leave them no time? You just want to score a touchdown. It just goes to show you don't want to leave any time on the clock. I think it would have been the same thing, Atlanta versus the Saints, because I'd have been confident in both kickers. I think overall we still don't have a pass rush. Carl Grandison, we need Carl Grandison to have more an impact as far as rushing the passer. If you look at today, not like he did in past games. He ended up with a couple of tackles, but no quarterback hurries, no tackles for loss, no sacks. Chase Young, if he wants to get paid, he got to get sacks. He got to finish the deal. He just can't have quarterback hurries. He had one quarterback hurry, one tackle for loss. Peyton Turner finally showed up. Now, just keep doing this and stay healthy for at least a couple of months in a row. He had a sack.
And that strip, which was nice.
Yes, forced fumble. And then, I don't know, what was his name? The D tackle, Shepard.
Shepard, right.
How about you land on the ball? I don't know. The ball wasn't.
Looked like he did.
Yeah, and then he just squirmed off of it, whatever. But way too much time for Kirk Cousins to throw, because he's not really going to scramble and make you miss. So overall, no pass rush. And you know what else? There was a time in the game, I know we talked about B.J. Robinson before the game, Bijan, and I don't know if he got hurt or he wasn't in the game. They were running Algier. I'm looking like
him.
+7, +11, +15. I said, I don't know. You have to stop the run. And the one thing, oh, Bobby, but we have gotten better stopping the run. If you look at overall, let me see where we come. Rushing defense, you have to look at because the Cowgirls can't run. And what Carolina did, we were 8th in the league, giving up like 99 yards a game because of the first two games. So that's how that was cued. But against Philly and Atlanta, hell no, we didn't stop the run. You look against the Eagles, they ran the ball 25 times. For 172 yards, basically 6.9 to 7.0 average. 7.0 is 6.9, same thing. Atlanta, 5.9. So that's 6 yards. So basically the Eagles average 7 yards a carry. The Falcons average 6 yards a carry.
But surprisingly, they didn't run enough.
No, they only ran the ball 15 times, I would say. If you're running the ball 6 yards a clip, how can you not have high 20s rushing the football? Again, less of Kirk Cousins would be more, or whether that's Derek Carr. So we did not stop the run the last two games, and we did not rush the passer. And we were +4 in a turnover margin, and we did not win that. We were -1. So now we +3 for the season. I did say this. that either the Saints or the Falcons, whoever is plus one, is going to win the game. And
you, I think you said, too, a last-minute field goal.
Yes. I just know how this unfolds.
Right.
And it's like, no, we were on the short end of the stick and all that. Come on, Rashid Shaheed, why in the hell are you fielding the ball? You should never field that. I mean, off the top of my head, it looks like he was on the four-yard line or something. Then you give up an easy touchdown. The pick six, that's just bad luck. I mean, I don't know, tip ball.
Ping, pang.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, it went like, boy, Derek Carr threw it right to him. And, you know, they had a pick six that way. It's just the ball's bad in the air, and just how it fell. Now, I thought we could control the ebb and flow of the game. You know, because we came into the game, you know, when you look at third down, you have to convert. No, we had some good drives, like Dennis Allen said, but you got to get touchdowns. And you can't just possess the ball because, you know, coming into the game, we average more than 7 minutes more time possession than the Falcons. Well, guess what? Today we had the ball more than 11 minutes than the Falcons. So, you know, we possess the ball, but the bottom line is you have to score points. I look first down. They went 2-1, like 14-28, but it was 25-14. You mentioned that early. Third down, we moved the ball. This is outstanding. This is winning football. We were 7-13 on third down, 54%. This is very good foul defense. They were only 4-11. Now, I talked about the running game and like how we're still not stopping the run. If you look at it, like penalties, man, I would have got this wrong. I thought it seems like just when it was like penalties at the wrong time, I thought we had way more penalties than this. But we had 6 for 60 yards. They had 9 for 76. You know, I always tell you, you never want 9 penalties or more. So actually, the Falcons kind of shot themselves in the foot in that regard. Now, looking at this Alvin Kamara kind of game, he had 26 touches. He had 119 total yards. You know, if he's hovering around 120, 125, and 26 touches, that might be a lot because he's getting beat up. That might have been less if Taysom Hill was able to play the whole game. Now, his chest. Now, my understanding, before he had a bruised lung, but now they said it's on the other side of his chest.
The ribs, right?
Is it ribs now? You right. Never know what's in that midsection, what's going to come about. I thought both Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins was very average, or maybe a little bit below average, considering the type of games Kirk Cousins has had against us where his quarterback rating's been 117.
Yeah, Carr was a better quarterback rating than Cousins today.
Yeah, but nothing to write home about. Carr was 82.8, so let's say 83.
Yeah.
And Cousins was like 68.5. The key was Algier averaged 7.5 a carry. Robinson averaged 4 yards a carry. Now, Kamara, 4.1, and then Taysom, 4.0. So I'm telling you, we average. Now, this is about what we're going to do, high 20s, low 30s. We ran the ball 33 times for 131 yards, 4-point average. That's getting it done. It's just when you look at that turnovers and all said and done. Chris Olave, I think you could see now that he's the go-to target. He was targeted 10 times, 8 receptions, 11-yard average. He ended up having 87 yards. Rashid Shaheed also had 8 catches. For 83 yards. Now, you look at all-purpose yards because you look at punt, kick, return. Rashid Shaheed even had one run. I think it might have been like a little reverse of 13 yards. He had 189 all-purpose yards, but you cannot fumble that football on the punt when that occurred. Drake London, he was targeted more than anybody. He had 12 targets. He caught half of them, 6, for 64 yards. I think we did an overall good job on him. Also, half his targets, but more explosive was Mooney, Darrell Mooney from Tulane. You know, he had 6 targets, 3 catches, right at a 19-yard average. He had the long gain of 36. I thought Hayball did a fine job punting the ball 3 times inside the 20-yard line. You know, you want that average maybe to be 42, 43 instead of 40. But when you look at placement and flipping the field, I thought he was outstanding. Now, when you look at, like, defensively, okay, Anthony Orji, again, on special teams, continues to contribute. He led the teams with 2 special teams tackles. You know why I'm figuring out now why Adebo, in the last couple of times, is leading. I was looking at this. Ends up, leading the team in tackles. And they're picking on Adebo. a lot. So he's there to make the play. I know the last two games, look at Debo, leading tackle. He had 12 total tackles, 10 and assisted. Because the man he's guarding may be making the catch, and then you have to, and he's making the tackle. But he panics too much. Don't you think at Debo sometimes if somebody double moves, he don't want to get burnt. So he's giving up the penalty. He's grabbing or getting a hold. But, you know, he ended up having an interception. He led the team with three passes defended. But I think the Falcons viewed him that someone maybe they could pick on and take advantage as far as, you know, in coverage. But if you look at it overall, I mean, it was kind of like a nightmare. How you can almost see how the fourth quarter was going. And I told you, Steve, I said, no, we didn't one score, we're all right. We are going to come back. But I'm telling you, if we come back, that doesn't mean we're going to win. Because if the Falcons within striking this, it's a field goal, that Korean kick, he ain't going to miss it. and that's exactly, it wasn't no gimme field goal. It was a 58-yarder.
No, just with that minute left, too, that pass interference call was hurt.
Yes. Debo getting double move, and the Falcons knew they could catch him on that.
Right.
So he ended up getting double move, but that kick, I mean, it wasn't like, oh, he'd be lucky to make this. No, that could have been 60-plus. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I think I'm even confident our kicker and groupie, how confident he is right now and how consistent he's been. If it had been flipped, I think groupie makes the kick for the Saints to win. That shows you the old cliche, to fine thin line, whether you win or lose. But it's a shame because we could have been 2-0 in the NFC South. Now, you know why we're behind the eight ball? To Tampa Bay waxed the Eagles. They waxed them.
What happened to those Eagles?
Exactly. So I'm telling you, Tampa Bay's feeling good about themselves. And I said this before the season started. I said this in training camp early August. I said, I'm just looking at the schedule. I don't know what's going to happen in what games. But after six games, can we be 3-3? Can we be 3-3? What are we right now? 2-2?
Yep.
So I don't – listen, we got to beat Tampa Bay. I don't even care about the Chiefs. Now, I would love to beat the Chiefs on Monday night. They're the world champs. But I'm talking about playoff positioning going forward. Again, to try and not see you so far behind Tampa Bay, we almost have to win at home against the Bucs. So then we would be 3-3. Okay, we've kind of weathered the storm, and I still would be encouraged going forward if that would occur.
Yeah, obviously going into this matchup now, Monday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs, Week 5, you don't want to go on a three-game losing streak, though.
Well, you could bounce back from that. I mean, the Chiefs are not the Chiefs, but they just find some kind of a way to win. I would not be discouraged, I'm telling you. Now, if you get blown out by the Chiefs, that's discouraging. But you know how the Chiefs, look how they beat Atlanta.
They got a lot of magic to them.
Yeah, it's like, what? How did they win that? How did they win that game? No, it's just Chiefs. I mean, whatever. So, but Tampa Bay, no, that's the one that's high on the hog and confident right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everyone in the offseason is talking about the Falcons, this and that.
Not so fast.
And forgot about the Bucs. No, the Bucs said, what, didn't we win the NFC South 3 years in a row? No, we the top dog. Y'all got to knock us off.
And they are 3-1 right now.
That's the measuring stick right now, Tampa Bay going forward. And the next home game in the Caesar Superdome is against those Buccaneers.
Taking a break, we'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point after right after this. Want to hear from you. Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. Be right back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints go down 26-24 in Atlanta. Now both teams 2-2 on the season. Tampa Bay leading the division at 3-1 after they beat the Eagles. Just want to remind folks, the day after the Saints score a touchdown, get a free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Time for you to sound off after the Cajun Cannon went off after this one on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, folks. 504-260-1870. First up in the shoot, Hector in New Orleans talking about some bad plays at inopportune times. Preach it, Hector. What you got for us?
I'm just really, really pissed off. I mean, because these division games are super important, more than any other games. We can't afford to keep dropping division games with stupid plays. Shahid should never made that stupid play, and it seems to me, for the second week in a row, I'm not so sure, Bobby. I don't trust our defense to close anybody out when we need to towards the end of the game.
I agree.
Whether it's our defensive backs bump into each other or the pass interference. Somehow or another, in all three phases, the Saints have to do something to ensure that we close the door, especially in these division games. Now, I still think the Saints are going to go 3-3, and believe it or not, Bobby, I actually, at the beginning of the season, I said, well, the Saints are going to go 3-3, but all of our three wins are going to come against our division opponents. Now, I'm not so sure. I hope we win against the Bucs, but if we make these stupid plays in close games, I don't know.
Well, yeah, Hector, you have to be able to close out games, because I think overall we're playing outstanding defense. What I mean by that, you know, just look at we're playing outstanding third down defense. We're playing outstanding as far as sustained drives, and you look all the little things, and so teams aren't necessarily possessing the football. Now, if you look at it, it's like a roller coaster. Where you see us come up big and be opportunistic, but then, like you said, until you do it and do it on a consistent basis, I don't have a confidence in us closing out games. Now, if we have about two scores, you think, well, it doesn't matter. But if it comes down to, man, we got to stop them, and, you know, it's whatever you've done for them lately, and you don't do it, then you always have question marks. Whether you say, well, we got them stopped, but penalty. And then, or it might be like, what in the hell? They had to get a touchdown to beat us against the Eagles. You can bend but don't break like we've done in the past, because, you know, we were outstanding red zone offense and defense, coming into the game. But like in the Eagles game, we all run into each other and, you know, keeping the ball in front of you. So it just like right now, you're definitely looking at the glass half empty instead of half full as a Saints fan. You had the edge of your seat. And you just pray and say, I don't know, I hope we could stop him. I don't think we could stop him. I hope we could stop him. And then you don't stop him. I mean, that's what's happening right now to close out games. Because you look right now, that's not too far-fetched that you say the Saints could be undefeated if you come up with one stop. One stop against the Eagles on that touchdown drive, and you take the lead at the end and you stop the Falcons, you win. So think how you feel about yourself, 4-0 instead of 2-2. I'm telling you. And you could say woulda, coulda, shoulda, and all that. I understand that. But that's why I'm telling you, Hector, when all said and done, how you feel about the head coach, how you feel about the quarterback, how you feel about everything, there's not much difference. I'm telling you, to being 10-7 or 7-10. Now, think how drastic that is. If you're 10-7, you have a chance to win the division, host a playoff game. And if you're 7-10, they say, well, who are we going to draft? Okay, where's our draft pick or something? And you're not playing. No, and right now, the way we've closed out games against the Eagles in Atlanta, you're not optimistic about going forward like in the postseason, because how you closed out games. I mean, it's amazing how, from a mental standpoint, because it's all pros out there, how you feel when you're 2-2 versus 4-0, and how you felt maybe as a fan, and how you like the toughness, and how you feel confident with our offense at times when Taysom Hill is part of the mix. And then you're like, Taysom Hill got knocked out again.
Great.
I don't know what he got, chest, I don't know, what that, lungs, ribs.
Ribs injury.
It's discouraging. You might say, well, next man up. Are you encouraged as a Saints fan? Well, I don't know. We paid him a few million. Are you confident that the 1-2 punch, Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams, or Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill? Who are you confident in? You're confident with Taysom Hill being part with Alvin Kamara. Not necessarily Jamal Williams right now. So that's just a reality of where we're at. And now we might try and utilize the tight end. I mean, are the tight ends ever going to be a part of the passing game? I mean, he had 3 targets, 2 catches, 13 yards, a long gain of 8. Jawan Johnson, I don't know. Is the tight end even part of our offense? And you might say, well, Bobby, maybe Derek Carr don't know how to utilize the tight end. Okay, all I remember is the Raiders against the Saints and Darren Waller. And when we couldn't cover him with Malcolm Jenkins. Remember tomorrow and all that? Right. We couldn't cover him. Wasn't Derek Carr utilizing the tight end? So I don't know what that is and what's up with that, because the tight end going forward has to be more involved, not necessarily just Chris Olave, Rashid, or Alvin Kamara. The tight end should have more targets and more catches. And hopefully Jawan Johnson's that guy, because I don't know if we have someone else. Because Foster Moreau now and then, but he's like, He's an every down tight end, not that pass receiving tight end that you see in the league. Anything else, Hector?
Yeah, the pass rushes, I think, is the thing that surprised me the most. I mean, how the week before you, pretty much you sacked Jalen Hurts like four times, and then Kirk Cousins, who was nowhere near the talent level, and then you just let him sit there, and you don't sack him other than just one time.
Right, right. No, we did not. You can't let – if I'm against Derek Carr or if I'm against Kirk Cousins, you can't let them too many times be back there like they can always say this, make a sandwich. You know,
just looking down.
Yeah, you're back there and you're kind of scanning. And then, but you know what they were doing with Derek Carr when we got close in the red zone? And Deuce mentioned this, cover zero. Cover zero is an out-and-out blitz. And Derek Carr finally got it right. Remember when he hit Chris Olave down to the two-yard line? The ball got to come out. You ain't holding nothing. You can't block everybody. You got to do sight adjust. Whether it's a quick slant, if you bump and run, fade, slant, whatever. It's like 1, 2, 3, throw it. And you got to get the yard after the catch. You got to get the separation. Your receivers have to win. So, but I don't know. Did it ever feel like, nowadays seasoned veterans, did it ever feel like we made Kirk Cousins uncomfortable? I don't care if his Achilles is blown. He could have been in a wheelchair back there. It doesn't matter. It's like we really didn't affect the passer like we need to. And then that's discouraging. And, if you look at it, Peyton Turner. If you'd have told me, okay, who's going to have a sack in the game against Atlanta? I wouldn't have guessed Peyton Turner. I probably would have guessed Carl Granison. But I'd have said Carl Granison or Chase Young's going to have a sack. But they didn't get any. It was Peyton Turner. Cam Jordan? No, it's kind of – no, we are
– And then with Peyton Turner, that missed opportunity of that fumble too.
Yeah, when Nate Shepard didn't land on it.
And in the Eagles game, obviously missed opportunities.
Yeah, well, we I don't know. Right now, it seems like, okay, you know who sacked the quarterback? That means you're trying to trick your opponent, Alante Taylor. That means you dogging, you blitzing. You can't do that all the time because I'm telling you, you will get burnt. As a veteran quarterback, if you're always blitzing, I hope you do it all the time because I can burn you. The worst thing against a Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins, like I've said this before, is if you can rush four, and to them it feels like a blitz. It's like, damn, I got to get rid of the ball, and then you got seven people in coverage. That's how you force mistakes and all that. But right now the Saints are not good enough. I don't think Atlanta's good enough, both teams, to have a four-man rush and get after the opposing quarterback.
This one hurt for sure. The Saints falling in Atlanta 26-24, now 2-2 on the season. We got our phone lines lit up here on the Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with more of it right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rolling on here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, getting all to your calls on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Scott and LaPlace, you are up next with the Cajun Cannon. What you got for us, Scotty?
Hey, how y'all doing, Bobby J? How you making out, man?
All right, Scott, what you got, man?
I got a couple things, and I'll hang up and listen. The first thing is I know that we have the oldest roster, but I still think it's the most talented roster in our division. We lost this game today because of a couple players' mistakes and because of coaching mistakes. To me, it falls on Dennis Allen. I hate to say it because I like him. I like the guy. I like everything he's been doing pretty much with getting Clint Kubiak in the offense and everything, but when it comes to his decisions, his decision-making seems kind of funny to me. Last week, if we would have kicked a field goal, we'd have ended up in overtime probably.
That's right. That's correct.
This week, if we would have kicked a field goal, we still had a chance. He's like, oh, well, the game wouldn't have turned out that way if we kicked a field goal. No, that's not right. When you have the opportunity to get points, get the points.
I agree.
Win games. They kicked four field goals. We kicked two. You know?
Hey, Scott, you preach it to the choir. I think, you know, I want my coach to be aggressive and go for it on fourth down. No, I want us to take the points. You have to let the game play itself out because those 3 points make a big difference. And I even said this against Philly, Scott, that why? Okay, you have to look at it. How Philly's D-line was dominating us. You remember 4th-and-1? I think both coaches had poor decisions to go for it on fourth down. They're ready to run the Eagles coach out of town, especially after they lost to Tampa Bay today. They're probably ready to fire him. And then, but you look at Dennis Allen. Okay, and I told him this on the coaches show. To me, if you want to be aggressive, you know, that's what you want to do. But you have to look at the situation you're in. We had lost our center, and then you had lost Taysom Hill. And then when you're going for it, you need all hands on deck. And so that, to me, I agree with you that you take the points. And I think it could have affected the outcome of the game when all said and done. Now, you'd have put more pressure on Atlanta that maybe, they have to be more aggressive. Because you can. Look, you never know. You never want to be behind like 4 points or more, and it's maybe the last possession, because then you have to score a touchdown. But then you could say, well, we got at least four downs to go 10 yards and keep moving the sticks. That's why it's ridiculous we gave up that touchdown against the Eagles, because it wasn't like a field goal to put us in the overtime or to lose the game. Well, we only have about 1 point. Yes, well, a field goal, you're going to lose the game. Not to go to overtime, you're going to lose it. So that's why. If you look, we're up by one and then back and forth. You never know how it's going to go. But I agree. Now, there's two strikes. It's not three strikes. Two strikes back-to-back weeks. We always second-guess the coach. That's what we have, we fans. We can do that. And I'm going to ask Coach Allen that tomorrow. Again, in a fourth down situation, do you still want to be aggressive and going forward on fourth down? Or do you want to take the points? Because that does come into play. And now you have two strikes. Now, if you're in that situation against Kansas City, again, on the road, Monday Night Football, are you still aggressive on fourth down? Or do you take the points? Because right now he has two strikes. And if it comes down that the margin of victory is like 3 points or less, then a lot of second guessing. Because, 3 points, you could say, well, you could have tied the game and then you overtime, or you could have won the game. Now, if you get blown out, it doesn't matter. But when the games are close, oh, why didn't we take the points instead of going for it on fourth down? So that's a good point. That's a fair question and to ask the Saints coach, or to ask the decision makers on offense. And Clint Kubiak's a part of that with Dennis Allen. But all I know is, it's not like first down, Saints. It's like, oh no, we got stopped on fourth down. Maybe we should have kicked the field goal.
You mentioned second guessing. You got that tomorrow with Mike D'Antilia at the Slipper. Also, the Saints coaches show with head coach Dennis Allen. It'll be interesting, obviously, to see what he has to say.
Yeah, fam. And then he'll go back and look at the film and break it down and the scenarios. Maybe what could come about. And because you can't look in the crystal ball like, okay, Bobby, let's say we'd have took the 3 points then. What would occur to close out the game? But all I know is 3 points is better than 0 points. Now, you want touchdowns are better than field goals. But sometimes the way this season has unfolded, I've seen a number of games in the NFL now. The Commanders. Before they, didn't they kick 5 or 6 field goals one game and they won? Charlie, help me out with that game. It wasn't
7, yeah.
It wasn't last week's game. It was the week before
against
that.
Against the Giants, right.
It was against the Giants. They didn't even score a touchdown and they won. Field goals do count as points. Now, if you can't stop the other team from scoring a touchdown, obviously you need touchdowns. But, again, 3 points is better than 0. I know that.
I know taking a break is what we need to do right now. We're going to be back with more of the Ciroc Point after, so stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Oh, those dirtiest of birds, 26, the black and gold 24. Saints fall into 2-2 on the season after a second straight loss for them. Cajun Cannon, what is bugging Bobby about today's game? Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. So, Cajun Cannon, out of all this mess today, what's bugging you?
Well, it was kind of the ebb and flow, how we closed out the game and what occurred. Whenever Koo was going to make a field goal, he wasn't going to miss it. That he makes a 42-yard field goal, so now we're losing 23-17. And there's 10 minutes left in the game, 10 minutes, 9 seconds to be exact. And then so I'm looking at Carr hit Shahid plus 18, 8 minutes, 26 seconds. So as that continued, This would bug me. We got first and goal from the 5-yard line, and we ended up going backwards.
Boy.
Okay. First and goal at the 5-yard line, and what all said and done, we ended up on the 7-yard line.
Giving it
now,
to them.
Okay, yes. Giving it to Atlanta because we went far on fourth down.
Right.
Okay, now, that, you know, Taysom or whatever, a bigger receiver, it's tight, or tight end, whatever. It was first and goal on the 5-yard line. We ended up on the 7-yard line. Like Kamara, 0 yards, Carr incomplete, third and goal. Okay. Kamara minus two, whatever. We're going backwards instead of going forwards. Now, offensive line, we kind of knew this maybe during training camp. It's not going to be a strength. How are we going to manhandle anyone? Might have to trick them, whatever. But it was fourth and goal, and they come after Carr, and they did a zero blitz. So they're coming after you. The ball has to come out. You can't, you know, you got to win one-on-one. It's going to be a tight throw. And it's 4 minutes left in the game. 4 minutes and 1 second, I wrote, zero blitz. So they bring in incomplete. So then, you know, we'd have been, okay, let's say, because we're going backwards instead of trying to get the touchdown. Now, if we score a touchdown, yeah, it's all hindsight. But when you just talk about points and what actually occurs to end the game. So let's say in theory it's an extra point. You make it. So now it's 23-20. And you're kicking off to Atlanta, 4 minutes left. Do you know we forced a 3-and-out? Now, now that was after where they got the ball deep. But it was a 3rd and 10. Algier got plus 7. Cousins incomplete. But they only ate up like 29 seconds. The point being, we could have made it 23-20 with 4 minutes left. And still had an opportunity maybe, you know, to make it 27-23 with a touchdown at the end like we scored instead of being up 24-23. But that was just bugging me how, it's second guessing. And then they couldn't have let Koo kick a 58-yard field goal because they would have needed a touchdown instead of a field goal to win or tie the game.
Looking back on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we're going to get to Hollywood in Thibodeau. I see you got a gross loss on there, to Hollywood, and that's exactly what I texted my wife after this one. What you got?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve.
How you doing,
hey,
man?
Hey, Hollywood. Listen, these last two games, boy, you know, the first two games, we were in the penthouse, but the last two games, I think we went to the outhouse.
That's why we got to blow the opponents out and don't have it close like that.
That's a great point, Hollywood.
Strategy.
Hey, Hollywood, the game's close. We're not good, but if we blow them out, then we're really good.
Yeah. But, Bobby, I'll be in Kansas City next week, and I'm going to be sitting on a 10-yard line. I'm going to make a sign for y'all. Yeah.
Let's go, Hollywood.
You got to put, because that would get national attention. Right. Hollywood, and you got to put Thibodeau in there. Because you think about that combination, Hollywood and Thibodeau, that goes hand in hand.
I just got a feeling we're going to be 3-2, and we're going to come back to the dorm and be 4-2 when we beat Tampa. How you like that?
How some positivity for everybody.
Hey, and then no one's ready to fire Dennis Allen if that happens. If we beat the Chiefs on Monday night and then beat Tampa Bay, considering an NFC South opponent again like a 2-for-1, and how Tampa Bay is kind of in control with the NFC South right now, 4-2. Yes, how can you not feel good about the Saints? Again, it's going to be, what have you done for me lately? That's a continuous process.
What has you feeling good, Hollywood, though, about going into this game against Kansas City?
If we don't pressure Mahomes and finish the play when we pressure the quarterback or capitalize on fumbles when we have the opportunity like what Peyton Turner did to Cousins and couldn't capitalize on that fumble.
Yeah. We'd have the ball bounce our way, Hollywood. Like you said, hey, we might have a game where we bat up the ball, we catch it and pick six, or, you punch it out, you get a fumble. All I know is, Steve, weren't the Chiefs, we were looking at that early in the today, the Chiefs were struggling. They probably, I don't know if they end up winning. Charlie, I don't know you or Steve got that. What occurred there?
They're down 10-7 right now. That game's currently in action against the Chargers.
Against the Chargers. Wasn't it like 10? It was 10-0 at one time, I think you had told me or something.
Yeah, it was 10-0.
Yeah, 10-0. So I don't know. The Chiefs seem like they're always able to come back. But the Chiefs aren't like it's just to win the game. But the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs of old. Pat Mahomes and their offense with Kelce, you know, nothing to write home about. You know what they've improved last year winning that Super Bowl? Their defense.
Defense.
And their defense, that's going to be the key. What are we going to do offensively, Hollywood, against the Chiefs? Because I think our defense will be able to hang with Mahomes and all that, but it's our offense against that Chiefs defense. That's what I have big questions come next Monday night in Kansas City.
Hey, you know what bugged me most about this game, Bobby?
What's that? What bugged you?
What about the tackling on the defense? Our tackling has been terrible lately in the secondary linebacker.
Well, you know who struggled? Will Harris, his tackles. He was in position to make the tackle. He just didn't finish the deal. I think the leadership of DeMario Davis. I mean, I think Pete Werner is a big part of the Saints' future. They just paid him. But he's not the second coming of DeMario Davis. He ended up with 3 unassisted tackles, 6 total. That is something. And the Honey Badger seems like he's good for that one a game where he's in position to make a tackle for a short gain. And then he ends up missing. He misses the tackle. Then it's a 28-yard gain instead of being a 5 or 6-yard gain. And I don't know if he had did he have a concussion or something because he didn't come back in the game. He was standing on the sidelines. So something happened with the Honey Badger. Maybe he got dinged or something, Steve. I don't know if you had Charlie.
I have to look at what exactly his injury was. I don't think it was concussion, though.
Okay, but he was just standing on the sideline. He didn't come back in the game. But, Hollywood, we're a little inconsistent at times with missed tackles.
Groin issue for Tyron. That's what he's dealing with.
Man, we have groins, hamstring, and all
right.
That. But the one, Steve, we commented on this, Hollywood, and I was talking with Steve. You know, it was running hard. Way harder than Bijan Robinson is Algier. He averaged 7.5 yards a carry, had only 8 carries. I know a number of times, bam, 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 we were hitting him.
Especially late in that game, man.
No, he was going 7 yards plus to double digits. So, yeah, our tackling was nothing to write home about overall in this game.
We are taking a break here on the Ciroc Point after. Pour a glass and sit with us. We'll be here till 6 p.m. Taking your calls, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Before we get on with our calls, want to pause 10 seconds and let station identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After in Cajun Cannon, I know you wanted to bring up a point here.
Yeah, when you go forward or not go forward, fourth down, or, whether you're in the red zone, it's a small sample size. It was only 3 games. But you look at 2024, you look red zone offense, red zone defense. Like, for instance, red zone defense. You know how Bama don't break? You force in field goals instead of giving up touchdowns.
That's all we did today.
The Saints were third best in the NFL. Behind 2 winning teams, behind the Steelers. Now, the Steelers, I think they might have struggled today. But look how they were 3-0. And then the Chargers, who are beating the Chiefs right now, well, it was 10-3. Well, the Steelers were at right under 17%. The Chargers, 20%. We were 25% as far as touchdown percentage leaders in 2024. Now, okay, that's on defense. Now, it's complimentary football. You look on offense. The red zone offense, as far as, let's say you're in the red zone 10 times. How many touchdowns do you get? Did it get 8 out of 10? What percentage do you get? For instance, the Buffalo Bills. When you say Buffalo's pretty good, right, this year? And look what they've done. Well, coming into the game, the Saints were third. The Bills were at 77%, and we were at 75%. So basically, if you round it off, whether you're saying 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, when the Saints, now you see that could be skewed because of the Panthers and the Cowgirls. But I'm just saying, when you look at the complete picture.
Those games seem so long ago now.
Right. So I'm saying with Clint Kubiak and their offense, so I think they were confident in their red zone offensive plan as far as getting touchdowns. But that was not the case. Again, what have you done for me lately? And like you said, that seems like a long time ago against Dallas and against Carolina. But we had first to go from the 5-yard line. I know we didn't score a touchdown. We ended up on the 7-yard line.
Yeah.
We lost 2 yards and went for it on fourth down. So I think that's why the decision make a lot of times you're going for it, maybe in the red zone on fourth down, because of the early success they've had this season.
Going back to our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talking text line here on the Ciroc Point After. Hitting up Menard on line 5. What you got for us today, Menard?
Hey, guys. I got to tell you, Bobby, I'm not discouraged. I had this team winning 5 games this season.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like I was that was the reality I saw, okay? They have an offensive roster that's as thin as the paper it's written on. Anybody that doesn't see that Taysom Hill is the difference and therefore the most important player to the Saints offense right now, you're just not looking at the reality of the situation. And I'm going to give you a number, Bobby.
Okay.
47 points through 4 games. The Saints defense, now not that fumbling play we saw today, or that you know, beat up interception that got run back for a score.
Right.
But the Saints defense has given up 47 points in 4 games.
That's awesome.
Okay. That's less than 12 points per game.
That's winning football. Obviously, that's dominant football.
And Jim Mora, I can tell you, I watched y'all play enough. There's no way in hell Jim Mora would have went for it in that situation today.
That's true.
And he wouldn't have went for it last week. He'd have taken the field goal because he knew the kind of team he was fielding, and he understood the game. These two games right here, neither one of them were 42-40 type games. Why are you acting like field goals are a dime a dozen in a game that's going to end up where both teams are more than likely going to score less than 20 points?
Yeah, that's a great point, Manar, you say, because basically if the game's in the teens or high teens or low 20s, field goals feel like touchdowns. And Manar, exactly like you said, and let me tell you what Coach Mara said, and it still stands true. Like, he's 89 years of age. But I'm telling you, look at the ebb and flow of a game. He said, if our defense is worth their salt, you hold your opponent to 17 points or less. Now, with the rule changes, I would put that up to 19 or 20.
Well, absolutely.
If your defense is doing that, then you should never lose. Now, offensively, you know, I'd be like, oh, you got to score 30-some points. No, you don't. And, you know, now I'd say you'd have to score maybe, if your defense is not amongst the best, maybe high 20s, 26 or 27. But he used to tell our office, said, Bobby, he said, I'm telling you, you get us, we score around 23 points, we're not going to lose. I'll tell you, we are. That's how you win double digits, 10, 11, 12. Won 12 games twice, won 11 games, 10 games. I did that like 4 seasons. And I'm telling you, it was like, okay, 23, 24 points. It might not be no crushing game like we smoked the Cowgirls or how we crushed Carolina. I remember beating Denver 42-0. Coach Mark could care less about that. No, he loved those games like all of a sudden you have a goal line stance against the Steelers or one of those things where it's like 23-17 or 20-16. You know, those type games. Because the wins all count the same whether you blow somebody or out. Now, you might want to get a lot of points to be more entertained. But it is about winning the game. Menard, you brought up a good point. And Coach Allen, well, you can't get greedy. You got to take those field goals.
Well, the thing is, if he takes the field goal last week, instead of being up by 5, he's up by 8, and you make the extra point. That puts you. That gives him 16 points. That was 9 points in that game. The way that game was being played was an insurmountable lead. You don't have a crystal ball to know what's going to happen. You had time left in both situations. You take the points because the game is too close, too tight, and too much good defense being played. And you got to play the situation you're in. I'm sorry, but Dennis Allen has cost us these two games. And but our defense played well enough to win both of them. Even though they gave up a play in Philadelphia, they still played. They were outmanned on the offensive side of the ball, and they did everything they could to win that game. And he beat them. He defeated his own team.
Now you have to give him, glass half full credit because he is in charge.
He's the one calling the defense.
He's calling the defense. He's in charge of the defense. So you have to give him credit. Now you might not give him credit as a head coach making the decision whether you're going for the field goal or are you going for it on fourth down. But as far as him being in charge of the defense, and he would tell you, well, you want to not do it. Listen, the Eagles didn't even what was the score after three quarters against the Eagles? 3-0? They didn't even score. This is the modern-day NFL. So the point being, now he would say, would you get kind of spoiled when your defense is dominant? Well, what did you do in the last drives?
Right.
Look at the Eagles. They needed a touchdown. We're playing outstanding defense. We got gashed.
Right down the field,
chunk
in
plays.
The dome.
The chunk plays. And then look what occurred. You had the interference. And what was bad, because it was only if it was 1, 2, or 3 points, then it's an overtime. Kuh wasn't going to miss. He's going to make a 60-yarder. So if they just
hit. I don't think the Falcons did anything after that yardage-wise, right?
No. They just got that long interference and they double moving.
Right?
And okay, we're in field goal range. No, and so the defense, but that's why, Menard, you have to give credit. Also, how well, because Atlanta didn't have an offensive touchdown. Now, you can say head coaching, but Dennis Allen runs the defense, and he's in charge of that without his captain of the defense, DeMario Davis. So you talk about the points they've given up. Dennis Allen's a big part of that because he's running the defense. Now, you wish he closed out games better. But as far as whether you're going for it on fourth down or going for the field goal, no. Dennis Allen is the head coach. He's not just the defensive coordinator. So that does matter there. But you have to realize, too, when our defense has been playing well, scoring defense, which always gives us a chance, Dennis Allen is in charge of that defense.
Want to hear from all you hurting hoodats out there. I know it's rough. 26-24, Saints fall to the Falcons. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point after right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Two-game losing streak now on tap for the Black and Gold, who fall to the Falcons 26-24 in Atlanta. A tough one for the Saints. We're now 2-2 on the season. Falcons also 2-2. Meanwhile, the Bucs, they end up blasting the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well,
Tampa.
They jumped out all over. They were up like three touchdowns and nothing
at
the beginning.
Yeah, it was 24-0.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And they're so now the Bucs now 3-1 atop the NFC South right now.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, you can be way ahead, but how do you finish the game? Now, I'm not going off on a tangent, but I just observed last night because I like football. Alabama should not have given Georgia any opportunity to come back. You might say, well, the team looks a whole lot better than under Coach Saban, how they were playing. But did they know how to manage the clock? And it kind of remind me of the Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl. Remember 27-3? In theory, you don't have enough time to come back if you utilize the clock right. Well, I'm looking at Alabama, and it could be any team. Knowing the what is the score? You're not playing five quarters. It's a four-quarter game. Even though you're losing the momentum, how do you milk the clock? You might say, well, you don't want to play conservative. No, there's a time to play conservative. When it could be NFL. It could be what happened in Alabama and Georgia. You can't be snapping the damn ball with 20, 24 seconds, then throw an incomplete pass. Alabama, Georgia was on a roll. They were coming back, had all the momentum. But in theory, they should have never given Georgia a chance to make the miraculous comeback and take the lead. Now, they end up winning the game. That's why as a quarterback, as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, if I'm Alabama, come on, you have to look at this. If we're ever in this situation again, you don't have to worry about stomping your opponent or crushing your opponent. You just have to win the game. You can't give an opportunity. It's not like, okay, we way ahead. And then all of a sudden, we're losing all the momentum. No, we got to finish the game. Maybe you didn't finish strong, but you won the game. Not like all of a sudden you lost the lead at the end, or are you playing in five quarters? But just look at that game. I was like, what is Alabama doing? I guarantee you, Nick Saban would have never let that happen. Let's say Lane Kiffin, when he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, he said, "You better run the damn ball." And you better tell the quarterback to snap that ball with like 3, 2, 1 second. And then, you might pick and choose when you might pass now and then, but we milking that clock. We're not throwing 2 or 3 incompletions in a row. But that's like giving the opponent a timeout. Then you're not eating up no clock, and they get the ball, and they're going bombs away, 2 and 3 play drives, and coming back and taking the lead. So that can happen in the NFL too. You got to know how to manage the clock. And the bottom line is just win. Because they all count. You just got to win the game, not trying to like, Alabama's kicking Georgia's behind. And they might have won to crush them. But they should never have had an opportunity to catch Alabama. And that could be even at the NFL level the same thing.
Flipping it back to the Saints side of things, Bobby, it's definitely disheartening when you feel like you only gave the Falcons a minute. 60 seconds were just left on the clock, and the defense once again just comes up short, fails you.
Well, but then, now if we were, okay, you know what would have been really disheartening? If we'd have been up by 4 points. And Atlanta needed a touchdown, like the Eagles, and then it went down and got a touchdown. I'd have been, you got to be
back to back weeks.
You got to be freaking kidding me! But I can tell you right now, I was not. That's why I wasn't as stressed. I was not surprised one bit that Atlanta came back and won the game. I was sitting there watching. I said, "Steve, it's too much time left." I mean, if they make one big play, Kuz's going to make a long field goal. He ain't going to miss it. And that's exactly what. Exactly what happened. Because 1, 2, 3 points, maybe, you know, you go over overtime, or what's going to happen. But no, 1 point, no. We got the lead. Now look at the Saints, how resilient we are. We came back. Look at all that adversity. Boy, you gave them 14 points. They fumbled the punt, the botch punt in the end zone, pick six. That all happened. We didn't give up. Yeah, all true. We took the lead. But no, 1 point, no. No, that I knew when that it was just in the cards. I said, that's exactly how it unfolded. And I think it could have been you flipped the script. It could have been the other way around. If the Falcons were up by 1 point and the Saints have the ball,
right.
I think we can get in field goal range and Groupie make like a 58-yarder to win the game. I think that definitely could have happened either way. I said that before the game.
Want to mention to folks, too, that Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations are now $8,240. We shall return with more of the Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're going to get one to all our great callers on the line right now. And first up is Alan on the West Bank. Alan, what you got for us today on the Ciroc Point After?
Yeah, a couple of things. I think Paulson Adebo gets too many pass interference calls. And when you have first and goal from the 5 and you get 0 points, it's sad. You have to at least get 3 points. And these are the kind of games that keep us out of the playoffs.
Yeah, no, Alan, you make a great point. I think Paulson Adebo, he's always been handsy. Who was the cornerback? I'm trying to think from
Not
Seattle.
Brandon Browner.
Yeah, Brandon Browner.
My Lord.
He was beyond.
Don't
handsy.
Do those comparisons, please.
No. Brandon Browner was the worst because he was getting away with holding as a defensive back when you come bump and run before they changed the rules, like when you could touch a receiver down the field and all that. So he was like their transition. Now, when I look at Paulson Adebo, I think sometimes he panics that when you double move him, and team knows this. That, okay, I'm not going to get beat, so maybe I get away with it, but he's too handsy. I think he's aggressive. You look at tackles, he's amongst the tops. I have to get my list out, and I'll look at, like, where are you at as far as, like, tackles and what he's done so far.
I know last year he's phenomenal with passes defensed, and I don't think there were as many penalties early on him at least.
Yeah, Steve, like, okay, now look at this, Alan. If you look at Paulson Adebo, and I think because he's getting picked on, he's making a number of tackles. You look today, he had like 10 unassisted tackles, 12 total. Well, he came into the game leading the team in tackles with 18 unassisted, 20 total. So now that would put him at 32 total tackles with 28 unassisted ahead of Alante Taylor and DeMario Davis. So now if you look at Adebo, and he's had games, he's amongst the best in passes defending because I think at times When Lattimore's been on the field, teams tend to want to go away from Lattimore and go after Debo. I mean, I want to say Debo was definitely in the top three. I want to say he might have been two in passes defended. Well, if you look at so far this season, I bet he's amongst the leaders. He has seven passes defended and two interceptions. That, Allen, that means he's being targeted. So it's kind of like feast or famine. Paulson Adebo, and the thing is, he wants to get paid. He's a rangy cornerback. Now, I know the Saints want Kool-Aid. They want Alante Taylor. I don't know in the future what they're going to do at Lattimore. As far as I don't think they're going to want to pay him. Then Paulson Adebo. Now, he's going to want to get paid, but the one thing other teams are going to look at him is that sometimes he's a liability, too many damn penalties. But other than that, I mean, if he's trying to maximize his potential earning ability, he needs to continue doing what he's been doing, but not have those penalties. Because you're going to get thrown on now and then. Was that? Say it again.
Do you know how many pass interference calls he has in the four games?
No, that you know, I look at the stat thing. I don't think they give that out. But I would say he probably, I don't think he has two handfuls. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have, I would say, Steve, look that up, you, Charlie. I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't had like three or four. It almost seems like the way he plays and his over-aggressiveness that he would have that as far as, you know, interference. But the one thing, he's not soft. He's not a guy that's not – I think he's aggressive. He wants to tackle and stuff. But listen, especially when you're making mistakes and the game's on the line. And the Falcons, that was in the game plan when they said, you know, Adebo's going to break on the ball, so we're going to double move him. And then he's going to be aggressive, and then he don't want to get run by, so then he grabs him and he gets the penalty.
Going into today, Bobby, he had four penalties for 45 yards.
Okay, so now what he had, a couple of today? I know one, like five or six.
And definitely that big one, obviously, at the end.
Yeah. So that's not gonna stop, Allen, as far as with Adebo. But I can tell you, as much as Saints fans, you can be disgruntled or whatever where Adebo's at, and I'm just telling you, when you look across the league at cornerbacks, Adebo, if you look at young corners and where they're at in their career and all that, Adebo is amongst the best NFL cornerbacks, even with those penalties. Even with those penalties, I'm telling you. And you know, as crazy as that sounds, I just look at like his passes defending, interception, his tackling ability, all of that. Now, you want everybody to be the best of the best, but that's not necessarily the case. I put it to you this way. If Adebo wasn't starting off with the Saints, I'm not saying every team, but I'd say it'd be in the 20s that Paulson Adebo would be starting off of that NFL team. I'm not talking about like Canadian or the USFL, the XFL, whatever, UFL, however they call that. No, I'm talking about NFL. Paulson Adebo is that good. So now how can, in his mind, how can you get where does he not take the chances to get those penalties? Then you burn, maybe give up a big touchdown. Bend but don't break. All I know is Paulson Adebo, if he can get a better hold of that and not getting those penalties, especially at significant times that dictate the outcome of the game.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to look at some of the positives, at least in this matchup. Raise a toast to our glass for the player of the game, the Ciroc toast to the Saints, when we get back right here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And it is time for our Ciroc toast to the Saints player of the game. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka and toast Alvin Kamara for his performance at today's game. Rushing and receiving, Cajun Cannon, definitely been a big threat for this team.
Well, you know, I wanted to be healthy because he was banged up coming to this game.
Said he played with broken ribs after the game.
Well, I don't know. Maybe broken ribs or cartilage. I don't know. Maybe they shot him up. Then you got to worry about that, you know, you don't want to puncture lung and all that. But that being another story, that there's going to be, okay, what is the right touches for Alvin Kamara? Because the season just started. You know, October, November, December. I mean, what if you're in the postseason? So look how he was utilized. I think he was a little overutilized against the Eagles. I'd say today, not 26 touches. I think
when Taysom went down, you really had to lean on him, obviously.
Right. I'd rather I'd be more, with Alvin, high teens, low 20s. Instead of high 20s or hovering around 30. For instance, he had 26 touches for 119 total yards. He had 9 targets in the passing game, 7 catches, 42 yards. He had a long gain of 11 yards in the passing game, and he had 19 rushing attempts, 77 yards, a long gain of 15. He had the touchdown. We just played the highlight. And this is what you want. You don't want it to where we're giving Alvin the ball a bunch of times and he's averaging 3.2 yards a carry.
Right.
No, 4.1. 4.5 would be ideal, 4.4, 4.5. But 4.1, no, that's winning football with Alvin Kamara. So I kind of like that. If you look at, because you have to look at him as a pass receiving running back and running the football. If he's hovering around 120 to 130, so let's just say 125, that's what the Saints. We need that out of Alvin game in and game out. It doesn't have to be explosive like 150. Oh, did you see the game Alvin had? He had 170 total yards, 180. No, if he's getting about 120 to 130, somewhere around there, then I think that's all he can contribute. Well, he was right at that with 119 total yards from scrimmage. So, Alvin Kamara, yes, he's always a bright spot. And again, I say this, we had questions on offensive line. A lot of people were banged up. You know, you plug and play. If they blocked for Alvin Kamara, he didn't forget how to run.
And there were plenty of plays he made those yards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So a combination. We also saw how well the line blocked against the Cowgirls and how he looked like the Matrix. How he's weaving
right,
and all
like
that.
He's back.
The screenplay. Yeah, I mean, he's back. It's not like he's a 29-year-old running back. He still has that burst. He can hit it and get it. So good for Alvin Kamara. Coming up with 119 total yards.
Want to hear you sound off here on the Ciroc Point After. Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Now on the line with us, Bobby, talking about Alvin Kamara and also Jamal Williams. Ronnie in reserve. What you got, Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm calling about that first and goal at the 5-yard line. And you run four plays and you go backwards. When you got your big back that you signed that's supposed to be a touchdown maker, the one from
Detroit. The one from the Lions, Detroit, Jamal Williams.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big back. He's not hurt, but Kamara's hurt, and they're going to pop him any kind of way they can to try to get him out of the game. But why you don't run that? You run Kamara twice. You throw a pass in complete end zone. I mean, you could have ran three plays. Get your
That's
field
a good
goal.
Point. That's a good point, Ronnie, because you look at Alvin Kamara, 0 yards and minus -2. Okay, if Jamal right. Williams is a touchdown maker, don't we have to give him opportunities? That would be the ideal time. That's another good question. Thank you for that, Ronnie, because I'm going to bring that up to Coach Allen. Well, why in the hell did we bring Jamal Williams on board considering the touchdowns he made with the Lions? And before he came to the Saints, you might say, well, Bobby, that was 2 years ago. Well, we still think he can run hard. He had, what was the game? It was the Panthers game. He had that nice touchdown run.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about it's first and goal at the 5-yard line.
Who's the guy you think can pound it? It was Taysom out, especially.
With Taysom out.
Right.
Taysom out. Okay, Jamal Williams. Well, Jamal Williams in the game, and the last two games against the Eagles and against the Falcons, he's had 4 carries.
Right.
He had 1 carry. Against the Eagles, I want to say might have been -1.
It was.
And today he had 3 carries for 11 yards. His long game was 4 yards, 3.7 average. But I don't know, don't you give him the opportunity? Don't trust him? Ronnie, I guess they don't trust Jamal Williams. Because, okay, you want Alvin Kamara, he's banged up, and you're giving him a lot of touches, but he has 0 yards and -2 yards. Now, if that had been Jamal Williams, they get 0 yards and -2, I would say, like, man, offensive line must really suck. Or Jamal Williams is not all what we thought he would be in a Saints uniform as far as being a touchdown maker.
What's crazy to me, too, Bobby, I'm looking at these stats, and I'm seeing 19 rushing attempts for Alvin Kamara. The Falcons just, they didn't even have that total in carries. How did they stay away from their rushing attack that was being successful?
No, to me, that's like whoever's calling the play. Who's calling the plays for the Falcons? I don't even know. I'd have to look it up. Whoever's calling the play.
Zach Robinson. Thank you, Charlie.
Zach Robinson. Well, what the hell are you doing? You averaging 6 yards a carry. Now, he ran Algier at the end, which averaged 7.5 yards a carry. But only
we haven't heard, but I think Bijan couldn't finish that game because I don't recall him being a factor at the end.
No, he had 7 carries. He had a long gain of 9. He had a 4.0 average, very similar to Kamara. And he had like 4 catches, 4 targets. He had 46 yards. So he did contribute. But half of what Alvin Kamara did,
right.
Bijan Robinson, but Algier was running tough. But to only have 15 rushing attempts.
Total,
and the average is 6 yards a carry. I'm like, who in the hell's calling the plays for them? Then realistically, and you know why? Less of Kirk Cousins is more. That have been, let's say you ran 20 times. So how about Kirk Cousins throw the ball 30 times instead of 35? I'm saying, see, so look all the plays we ran. So I don't have a problem with Derek throwing the ball 36 times. The reason why I say that, because we ran the ball 33 times.
Right.
So you can see that balance there. But then Atlanta not having success on third down. And the way they were running the ball to only have 15 attempts. And like you brought up, Steve, they had 15 rushing attempts and Alvin by himself had 19. So, if I was doing the Falcons coaches show, I'd bring that up. Okay, the offensive coordinator, why in the hell we ran the ball so well? But
why'd you get away from
we
it?
We only ran the ball 15 times. That'd be, for sure, one of the top questions.
Like I said, I want to hear from you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. We will step away for a break here on the Ciroc Point After and be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Looking at the scoreboard right now, we're seeing the Chiefs and Chargers tied at 10-10. The turnover just happened for Justin Herbert right by the end zone.
Well, I don't think it was a turnover. I think, like Charlie said, they went for it on fourth down on the 4-yard line. So, they again, take the points. You could be up 13-10, but then Harbaugh's
probably— Nobody's taking field goals anymore.
But then Harbaugh's probably thinking, well, it's going to take more than 3 points to beat Mahomes
and
the
Chiefs. And he's not wrong.
But then you don't have the lead. Now it's 10-10. No, it's unbelievable how they're going for the three-peat. The Kansas City Chiefs, just look at the scoring offense, scoring defense. The Chiefs win because of their defense. And Pat Mahomes is considered the greatest quarterback. If you look at the transition, you know, you kind of go Johnny Unitas. You go to Joe Montana. You go to Tom Brady. Now there's a number of guys like John
like
Elway, Peyton Manning, and all.
Yeah.
Okay, but you go, let's say, Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, and then you go to Tom Brady. Then you go Pat Mahomes. But if you look at what have you done for me lately, Pat Mahomes and their offense, nothing to write home about. It's their damn defense. The Chiefs, if we score in the 20-something points against Kansas City on Monday night, I would say we got a great chance to win.
How is Spag so bad here?
That's the most puzzling thing in NFL history. How Spags...
Not just bad, historically bad.
No, like the worst ever. Worst defense ever. One of the worst defense ever. What was that, a decade ago or 10, 11, 12 years ago?
Right.
It was like monumental bad. Was the Saints defensive talent that bad that they set all kind of negative records? Because he's a genius. He's a defensive genius in Kansas City. Now, maybe they have the personnel.
Right.
And they got Chris Jones, who I think... is the new top, who's the modern day Aaron Donald. You know, who is the top dog defensive disruptive? I'd say Chris Jones of the Chiefs, and we all look in the past Aaron Donald. But the Chiefs are winning this day and age. Just look at the scores. Just look at basically the first month of the season, how the Chiefs have won games. They're ugly on offense, but they sure have been dominant scoring defense and their defense. That's how they've won games. And right now, you know, Justin Herbert, considered one of the top quarterbacks. Steve, how many minutes? It says like 10 minutes left.
In the fourth, right,
In the fourth, it's 10-10. And it was 10-3.
Slobber knocker.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's going to happen next Monday night against Kansas City. But all on the offensive line and the Saints offense, they better pack a lunch. Because we worried about our defense maybe containing the Chiefs and what they do offensively. To me, it's what our offense is going to do against their defense. Because that could be very humbling.
I guess the good news maybe is the Chiefs' run game is suspect. I don't really know if they've got much going on there, but obviously you got a guy like Mahomes. I'm looking here. Kareem Hunt, averaging 4.8 a carry for them, has 38 yards.
And he just came back on board. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And Samaje Perine, they have Carson Steele and Patrick Mahomes running the ball. So there's some of like a who's who in there in their backfield at the moment.
Yeah. The point I was just trying to make is that the Chiefs have been winning. And if you look, they won a championship last year. They're trying to three-peat. And it does take a magical quarterback like Pat Mahomes, but they got a magical defense also.
No, and that magical, they find a way to win when it all comes down to it. Yeah. So you want to credit the refs or whatever it is in the game, they do find a way to win in the end.
Yeah, whether you want to say the refs or the calls or luck, I don't know. You make your own luck. I mean, I don't know. I look at that. After it happens a bunch of times, I guess you kind of make your own luck.
Right. Back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to get into T-Man. T-Man in Algiers talking about the running game. What you got for us, T-Man?
Yes, sir. Hey, look, I just don't – I'm puzzled.
Me too.
Penny getting mauled on the right side. Why we keep trying to run the ball to the right side? Every time we run the ball to the left side, we get positive yards. We could have got a first down. We end up losing 2 yards. No gain with Alvin. We run to the left side after we get the ball back, and we getting positive yards. Why we they mauling Penny on that left, on that right side over there? I mean mauling him. Every time you look, he's on the ground. He gotta keep his foot up under him.
Well, T-Man, that's a good point. I think a number of fans might question that ran a run to the left side with the combination of Lucas Patrick at left guard and Fuaga. Versus trying to run behind Penning. Now, we look at Penning. That's supposed to be his strength as far as being aggressive as a run blocker, not so much trying to get better as a pass protector. But, again, at times, like you said, Trevor Penning's too much on the ground for me. He's just out of control.
Yeah,
he's too much on the ground.
He stayed on the ground the whole game. I watched the whole game, and I was really upset. You know, they could have put him on the bench and put somebody else out there. Because every time you look, he's getting up off the ground. You're letting people maul you on that side of the field. You should be better than that. You've been in the league too long for that.
They want him to work out. I don't know if he will work out. They want him to now because he was a number one draft pick. I mean, I don't know. Would you rather put, what's his name, Ali Adu there?
Right.
Options
are slim.
Yeah, options are slim, exactly.
Yeah, but we got to try somebody. That's killing us over there on that right side. That's killing us. We run a stretch play to Alvin to that side. He let the man go around him. They tackle Alvin for a 2-yard loss. You got to stay on your block.
T-Man,
sign me up. Sign me up on the right side. I don't play football, Bobby.
T-Man, you preach it to the choir here. I'm not. I'm the one that said, I don't know, Trevor Penning. They're not just going to give up on him because he's a first-round draft pick. I don't know if he'll ever make it a tackle. And then if he can't tackle, but T-Man, that if he don't make it a tackle, they said, okay, you have 2 strikes. Let's put him at guard. Let's try and see what he can do at the guard position. Or to me, a tackle, I think a better developed guy could be Landon Young. I think if you truly, let's say like Landon Young was the first-round draft pick or vice versa, where Landon Young was drafted and Trevor Penning. And let's say since Landon Young was the first round, that we're going to get more opportunities. I think there's more upside with Landon Young than Trevor Penning. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but that's just my opinion, that I think Landon Young overall could be better than Trevor Penning at right tackle.
Yeah, right now, Bobby, though, you know, with the status of the O-line, I don't even know who's left, you know, healthy-wise on this squad.
Yeah, and that was another thing, T-Man. I was worried about the damn offensive line. I said this in the pregame. That's why I said, I don't know, take the Saints into points. I don't know about us winning. I was concerned in training camp. The weakest link on the team is the offensive line, and our 2 best offensive linemen are not playing?
Meh.
You know what? Cesar Ruiz said his knee was hurting. Maybe more than his knee was hurt. It might have been his heart pumping poo-poo after he got whooped by them Eagles' D-tackles, about those men up there. If you look at the interior, McCoy went out. I can tell you right now, as much as I like McCoy and Ruiz, our 2 best linemen, don't you think the way the Eagles were playing and how they were wired, Boy, McCoy and Ruiz better pack a lunch. Because I know, like Cesar Ruiz, Lucas Patrick, he did pretty damn good at center, considering plug and play against the Eagles. Cesar Ruiz was getting his ass kicked. Now the Eagles game. Right. And he's supposed to be one of our better linemen. Now, the Atlanta D-line, the Atlanta interior D-line, I should say. Or just, you don't view the Atlanta D-line as their strength. But compared to those, the big guys with the Eagles had on the inside, come on. The Falcons' interior lineman can't hold the Eagles' jock. Just look how disruptive they were in that game, what we watch in the Dome, compared to what happened today. No, that was one of the most disruptive games I've ever seen in the interior, what the Eagles were able to do to the Saints. But again, we shouldn't be surprised, because that was a question mark going back at the beginning of training camp, even in the offseason, about the offensive line.
Yeah, surprisingly, you know, you had to...
That shows you how sorry the Cowgirls are on the D-line.
Maybe a little bit worried about a David Onyemata revenge game. He wasn't a factor.
No, he's getting older and all that. No, that just goes to show you how, Bobby, maybe our offensive line is better than you think. Yeah. No, it just shows you what the situation Carolina and Dallas is in.
Yeah.
That's sorry. All I know is, the Cowgirls beat the Giants. Yeah, the Giants.
Don't get too excited over that, right? Jones, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
But But I just look at, you punch the Cowgirls in the mouth, they're a finesse team. You run right at them. Okay, what did the Packers do against them in the playoffs? What did the Saints do to them? What did the Ravens do to them? Ran right at them. Come on. Now, when you went against the Eagles said, not so fast. Vic Fangio said, you're not doing that against us. And then you look today against Atlanta. Who was playing on the line? And we didn't have McCoy, no. So we didn't have as much success. Now, if you look at what we did running the football, we still averaged 4 yards a carry. That's very – it's not like it was 2.9 or something.
We've seen that, too.
Offensive line's hurting. No, what I'm disappointed the last two games, we have not been able to stop the damn run. Against the Eagles, we gave up 6.9 yards a carry, 172 yards, 25 attempts. And then today, they only run the ball 15 times, but we give up 6 yards a carry. No, again, can you run the football? Can you stop the run? The last two games, we have not been able to stop the run.
What we're going to do is stop and take a break. Be back with more of the Ciroc Point after. So stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Black and Gold Therapy line is going to be shutting down soon, but the Cajun Cannon and Mike Dottiglio will be back at it. Second guessing tomorrow at the Silver Slipper Casino. Make sure you tune in. We're going to punch 10 seconds right now. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints going down again in back-to-back games, falling to 2-2 on the season with a loss at the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, very disheartening, Cajun Cannon, when you look at what happened in this game. Two really gifts to the other, you know, opposition there with a muff punt resulting in a touchdown and then a pick six, obviously putting more points up. The defense didn't give up a touchdown to the Falcons offense, just a bunch of field goals. I guess you can take away some, you know, positives from that, but overall,
it hurts. That we didn't give up. I mean, we didn't give up because you give up those gimmies. No, the National Football League is too highly competitive. I can tell you
those late game situations are very, puzzling.
If you look at when the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, how magical we were as far as getting defensive touchdowns.
Pick six, right. Or
defensive touchdowns. Whatever the ball bouncing your way, I want to say like 9. So in one game, if you get a pick six and you get a muff punt and you score, I'd have been like shocked. After that happened, I was at the beginning of the game, Steve, I told you, if the Saints win, you just don't win those kind of games.
No, they end up falling 26-24 in Atlanta, 2-2 on the season. Back at it next against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are deadlocked 10-10 right now with the Chargers. We'll find out what happens there, and you'll be talking about it more on the second guest tomorrow. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to all our great listeners out there who tuned in and also chimed in on the Ciroc Point after this evening.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints.